and the foolish one, and the wise one is worthy and deserving of pity because of the consequences for walking his life, abandoning God and abandoning the principles that God has given for his kingdom to be run by. But Proverbs is really written, so it's written for all of us, it's written for all people, but it's really written particularly for the young, for those who are at the outset of their life and deciding which path will I take. Will I take the path of wisdom or the path of foolishness? And this morning's verse is to help us take the wise path. And it is to help us to walk in wisdom, but walk in wisdom in a way that this verse really gets centrally. To walk in wisdom, you really need to understand your identity properly. And so this passage that we're going to be in this morning really is one of these passages that helps informs a proper identity. And though this passage is in so many ways written particularly to the young, it really is written for each of us, because each of us has a decision and a choice every day of which voice will we listen to. Will we listen to the voice of wisdom, or will we listen to the voice of foolishness and culture? So with that, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in chapter 11, verse 22. We're just going to be in one verse this morning. But in the year 2019, there was a woman named Bella Hadid, and maybe many of you have heard of her. I don't know anything about her beyond this, but she's a model, and she was declared to be the most beautiful woman in the world. Now, in case you thought, I don't remember voting on that or whatever, this was decided by a panel of people who really would know how to determine this. So the award was given by a panel of esteemed plastic surgeons. So this group came together and they named her the most beautiful woman in the world, and or I guess person, not just woman, but the most beautiful person in the world was. But they didn't just sort of, you know, vote on who they thought the cute girl was. They declared her the highest score because they have something called the golden ratio test. And she scored, I think this is good, if she was number one, a 94.35% on the golden ratio test. And it's meant to measure your physical perfection based on the size and position and ratio of your nose and eyes and jaws and lips and eyebrows and eyes and all that right? Like, you put all that together in the ratio that's meant to be the top. She scored the highest. I was away that weekend. I don't know. I didn't get a call, so I don't know where I placed in the top 10. But she was, right, she was voted most beautiful. She was voted number one. But the whole theory that they have, right, is that you can measure beauty using purely science, right? You can come up with a ratio. You can come up with this standard. And you can put it all sort of scientifically, and you can determine beauty in that way. Now, maybe you would agree with their methodology. I'm guessing most of you wouldn't. But I'm guessing if I would say, hey, how do you measure beauty? What's beautiful? That we would have some standard we use. We would have our own metric, our own way of determining beauty. But in our passage this morning from Proverbs, we see God's standard of beauty. We see God's metric, and we see the standard given by one even far more qualified than plastic surgeons to speak on the subject. And what we're going to find is it doesn't have anything to do with the golden ratio. In fact, true beauty has nothing to do with the way one looks, but it's something of ultimate importance. It's of something happening on the inside. So if you're visiting with this, normally we go through a book of the Bible passage by passage. September, we're going to be doing that again. We're going to be in the book of 1 Peter. This summer, we're in a short series on Proverbs, and really, we're trying to hit just what are relevant themes, but what are themes that really help identify the book of Proverbs as a whole, because Proverbs really is just telling us in practical terms how life really works. And then this morning, we're going to see what beauty really is. I just want to say from the outset, it might seem like an unusual passage at first, right? You might, as you're reading it, you might think, like, of all the Proverbs you could have chosen, like, this sounds a little funny at first. But I think the theme that we're going to hit in this proverb really is at the heart of many proverbs, about what's not on the external, but what's happening inside is of ultimate importance. We're going to see that true beauty lies in how one loves, not in how one looks. True beauty lies in how one loves, not in how one looks. So with that, if you could stand as we read God's word. We're just going to be, again, reading one verse this morning, studying one verse this morning. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. like a gold ring in a pig's snout, is a beautiful woman without discretion. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Well, you may be seated. Again, the main idea that I think we're going to see from this is that true beauty lies in how one loves, not in how one looks. And we're going to look at that through 4 points this morning. And point number one is this: the world's wrong definition of beauty. The world's wrong definition of beauty. So again, the proverb is like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. And this is a proverb that it gets right to the point, right? He just says it as it is. He's getting right there. And he draws a comparison between an externally beautiful woman who does not have discretion being like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Now, it's an image that's meant to hit hard, and it's an image that's meant to show us what beauty really is, primarily by putting a spotlight on what beauty isn't. So it's sort of be like, okay, let me show you in detail what beauty is not so that you can have a better sense of what beauty is. But when you read it, right, it's such a non-modern way of speaking, and it's almost like a silly image, right? I mean, it's almost like that it can be easy in that to miss the punch of what he is saying. So I think to get it, you really need to look at the image he's holding up. So he's saying, okay, think of a pig, right? But you have to think of like a real pig, right? Like our daughter growing up, she had like all these stuffed animals, right? She had, I mean, I don't even know the count. A lot of stuffed animals. That was like her thing, right? And so she had all these stuffed animals. And one was this cute little pink stuffed pig named Alex. And it was clean and it was fluffy. And we named it Alex because she got it in Alexandria one time. And it was just this adorable thing. And, you know, it was soft. And, you know, it was brought, you know, it was comforting. My son had a stuffed animal. His name was Fatback. And because Fatback's a type of bacon, we really liked that name for it. But, right, like, but again, it was this squishy thing, and it was cute, and it was like, oh, look, you know, it's this nice little animal. I just need to be clear. When we're talking about what he's saying here, don't think of that. That's not the image to have in mind. You need to think of the farm and the pen in it, and that the pen stinks, and it's the pig lives in its own manure, and there's trash in there. And that these pigs are fat and hairy, right? They're gross animals, right? And they eat garbage, and their face is in filth all day. Right? It's not a cute picture. It's a gross picture. You're meant to think of this animal that's mean, and even to the original audience who couldn't eat of it, right? It was this unclean animal, right? That's the image you're supposed to have. Its face is in the mud and the grossness all day, and somehow it's rolling around one day. I don't know how this happened, but apparently got its snout pierced. But it's rolling around, and somehow this precious, beautiful ring is put through its nose. Now the image of Proverbs what he's saying in Proverbs is not, you know, formerly this was an ugly pig, but now it has this ring, and suddenly it's beautiful because of the ring. It's saying, this is an absurd picture, right? Like, this animal has ruined this beautiful ring. This ring doesn't make the pig beautiful, but the pig made the ring suddenly worthless. It ruined this thing of beauty. And it's just an absurd picture, right? Why would you put this beautiful ring on this dirty animal, on this gross animal? Why would you? It's just absurd. And Proverbs is saying, okay, a beautiful woman, give her all the external beauty you want, but you give that woman no discretion. And it's an equally absurd display. It's not a beautiful one. Now, we see that, right? Yet the world we live in, we just need to see that the world we live in marks beauty solely on the external. Right, that the world doesn't have this sense of, okay, no discretion ruins beauty. No, they say, well, a beautiful woman is a beautiful woman because we can base that purely on the external. We can base that purely on the science. Bella Hadid was named the most beautiful, not because they included any sort of attributes of her internal character. Because beauty in our day and beauty in our culture, and this has been the case for culture after culture after culture through history, is about external beauty. Beauty is skin deep. Culture defines beauty as what is on the outside. But they not only sort of mark beauty by what's on the outside. They then sell their vision of beauty to all inside the culture that beauty is all about what's on the outside. In 2025, it is projected that the beauty industry, you know, you think of hair, makeup, skincare, that industry will bring in $677 billion worth of revenue. And I'll just say this, they are spending billions and billions of those dollars in advertising, mostly to women, mostly to young women of our culture, that beauty is defined primarily by appearances. The ads that they're projecting are not centered around the inward character development that takes place in women's lives, but they are centered around the fact that women need to look younger and wrinkles should be smaller and skin should be softer and everyone will notice your blemishes unless you take effort to cover them up. And we buy this to the tune of $677 billion a year. Now, just to be clear, I'm not getting up on some rant about this isn't makeup is a sin or, you know, let's boycott the jewelers, right, that can never color your hair. That's not the point. That's not the point of this proverb. But we just need to recognize we live in a culture that only defines beauty by what is on the outside, and we're just assaulted with that reality every day. We're assaulted with that messaging every day, and we, both genders are vulnerable to this. Every age is vulnerable to this, but particularly young women are particularly being targeted with defined beauty solely on the external. Because we live in an age where youth and beauty are seen of paramount importance, and the value one brings ultimately is the measurement of their beauty, culture is selling worth and identity is in your external measurement of beauty. Combining that with, we live in a sexualized age filled with images on our TVs and on our phones, commercial after commercial, billboard after billboard, magazine after magazine, Instagram feed, one after another. Your worth is in your external beauty, and your beauty is only skin deep. Now, hopefully, you think, well, that's not how I would define it. That's good. But we just need to know we're under constant attack. We're swimming in this cultural sea. And so it's hard to not have that have some effect on each of us. So true beauty lies in how one loves, not in how one looks. Secondly, I want to look at God's right definition of beauty. So again, like a gold ring and a pig snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Again, right, this meant to be this absurd image. A beautiful ring in this ugly barnyard animal is an absurd picture, but it's just as absurd as a beautiful woman without discretion. Now again, probably obvious here, Proverbs is not anti-beauty. He's not making a case against beauty. He's making a case that's pro-discretion. He is for discretion. So what is discretion? Discretion is good sense. It's wisdom, the theme of the book. It's that internal quality. That's the internal quality. This good sense, discretion, wisdom, that's the internal quality that matches external beauty. They fit together. But beauty is not the problem. But external beauty is not the measure. It's not the goal. The goal of Proverbs is discretion and wisdom. And so here, this verse is showing what beauty is by contrasting to what it is not. It is not a lovely-looking external presentation. But he's saying, if you lack discretion, if you lack wisdom, guess what? That will never be a beautiful picture. If you lack discretion, that is, by nature, it is not beautiful. Lacking discretion, however one looks, is never going to be the definition or the mark of true beauty. So, what is? Later in Proverbs, in chapter 31, chapter probably most of you would know well, he's talking of the excellent wife, the best woman there is. He says that she is more precious than jewels. And he lists in the Proverbs all these characteristics that just make her precious, that make her just sort of all the characteristics that makes her one of true beauty. But then it ends this way. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. He's kind of the culmination of all these things that he's praising her for, that he says that she has, that boy, she brings. He's sort of, the summary of it is, yep, you are a woman who fears the Lord. And all that flows out of a fear of the Lord, the one source of true and lasting beauty according to God, and parenthetically, according to any man worth living your life with, is that one would fear the Lord, live for the Lord, love the Lord. What 11:22 simply calls discretion. That's true beauty. Go to other places and in Scripture, they're going to say the same thing. For example, right, 1 Peter 3 says, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or of the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious. See, what's true beauty according to Scripture? What's true beauty according to God? This is real beauty. What is of real beauty is what's happening internally in the heart that trusts and fears God. John Piper writes, the beauty of Christ is the beauty of love, not the beauty of looks. The beauty of Christ is the beauty of sacrifice, not the beauty of skin. So, true beauty lies in how one loves, not in how one looks. Third, look at this, pursuing true beauty. So, pursuing true beauty. Okay, so, beauty marked in culture is externally based, but beauty truly understood, right, is defined by the ultimate source of and creator of beauty, and it's defined by this trust on the inside, this fear of the Lord that takes place internally, right? Now, that's a relatively easy concept. But again, given the constant assault we are under in our day to define this wrongly, see, culture's not just presenting an alternate view and sort of like, all right, well, here's God's definition, here's our definition, you know, whichever one you want to pick, you know, go with that. Culture's not just sort of putting it out there as an alternate perspective. They are pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. They are spreading lie after lie after lie. They are forcing this worldview on everyone who lives in the culture. We just need to see. We can be vulnerable to elevating external beauty too highly. See, it's not like there's a debate happening. Okay, God's going to give his take. They're going to have a point, counterpoint. Culture has a way of just keep pushing this and pushing this and pushing it. And we just need to recognize ourselves. It can so often appeal to our sinful nature and it can appeal to our own pride. And so we need to see that he is warning us of not putting defining beauty wrongly, not just because there's sort of an alternate view out there, but because we can be vulnerable. We can be vulnerable to believing what culture is selling us about the nature of beauty. So we need to be those who pursue and protect and promote true beauty. And it needs to run deeper than just telling young women, hey, it's more on the inside than what's on the outside. We need something of more substance than that. John Piper writes again, you will find this all over the Bible. The beauty to which God looks is not external. It is the beauty of love. It is the beauty of mercy. It is the beauty of patience and kindness and meekness and joy and self-control. You can be big or little, tall or short, bad complexion, good complexion, hair falling out or hair staying in. You can be any kind of body and absolutely gorgeous morally as the Spirit brings you into conformity with Jesus. Oh, that we could get this embedded in our young women and increasingly young men. Because I do believe with all my heart, if we could embed this truth early on in our girls and boys, then the massive difficulties that we're having with so many afflictions would have at least a partial antidote. If we could just breed into our little ones and then model for them, parents, how you dress and how you think about the body and help them to monitor what they're watching and doing and then just drive it in day after day, there is one beauty God cares about. Do we love each other? Are we merciful? So how do we embed this day after day into our own hearts? How do we help embed this day after day into the next generation? How do we pursue and promote and protect true beauty? Just have a couple of thoughts and think different categories for that. But I think first is this. We must be those who believe God and what he says, that beauty really is marked by the internal, not the external. And this applies to everyone, but I think this particularly to the women. Women need to be those who believe God's word. Because here's the reality. We're not going to hear that messaging and culture around us. Culture is never going to elevate that. It won't. So one must choose. Am I going to listen to the voice of truth, or am I going to listen to the voice of this culture? And to be succinct, we must use discretion and live in the fear of the Lord, trusting what he says to be true. So I think the first thing we do to pursue this is we choose to trust what the Lord's assessment and definition of beauty is, not what I'm hearing in all the magazines and all the Instagram feeds and all the commercials around me, but I'm choosing God and his word and what he declares to be true, and what he declares true is true. But let me also just say this, that I think this is meant to be, and it is, a wonderfully freeing truth. Because it's a truth that's meant to liberate us from having to live our life chasing the latest, right? Just the latest thing for your hairline, the latest skin cream, the latest makeup, chasing a youth that is never coming back, right? It's meant to free us from running this cycle of this life-taking and joy-stealing ride that so many people live on, because they're just chasing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and having their definition of beauty defined by this person and this person and this person. It just frees us from that to say, as we pursue him, we become more like him, and becoming more like him, something of true and unfading and lasting beauty unfolds. And it takes place in our lives. True beauty comes as we pursue the Lord and we're transformed into his likeness. But we have to battle to believe that. Say to particularly the dads here, we need to be those who build a culture and protect the culture and promote a culture of defining beauty rightly in your homes. That our daughters, your wife, should hear that you find them beautiful, so they aren't tempted to hear a different voice or a different definition from a voice that ultimately doesn't love them. But we also need to see that what is ultimately honored isn't of perishable earthly beauty, but permanent beauty, undefiled beauty, the beauty that only gets more and more spectacular with age. Let me also add this, that as if we needed another reason to have nothing to do with and guard against pornography, let me just add this, that if the main earthly protector of the home is sexualizing women and walking in a pattern where the worth and value of someone is sexual, which is at the core what pornography does, that will affect how you see the women you love deeply. It will ill-equip you to be able to defend them. It will affect the way they see themselves. It will affect what they believe about themselves. And so we just need to recognize that pornography does not only affect your soul, it touches those around you. And so do you praise your wife's beauty because you should? But it's not just to sort of say these words that ring hollow because you're looking for beauty here and here and here. But you're looking for it in one woman and in one place, and you're protecting that and guarding that. And you're also praising and proclaiming the area, all the areas that make her beautiful. Because we just need to recognize that we live in a culture that would look to reduce our wives and our daughters to being primarily, their worth and value being found in primarily one area. Their sense of worth and identity being reduced so grossly to this one area, defined by this one area. And do you help them see what is of real and lasting and true beauty, that a heart that trusts in Jesus? And if any young men here, I just want to say, like, flee temptation. And in a major way, flee pornography. God's word is not lying. It's always true that a woman can be gorgeous on the outside, But if she does not love the Lord, she should never be given another thought in your mind. So Proverbs, right, it's written to those who are primarily to those who are at the outset of a journey. As you begin your journey, you just need to have a settled conviction that to walk in life, to walk in wisdom, means I'm going to look for what is genuinely and lastingly beautiful. What God is doing internally inside really is what is of lasting and of true beauty. It's now going on 3 decades, but 3 decades ago, I was a young man, and as a young man, I did not love Jesus. And I kept company with those who did not love Jesus. And I talked about young women in ways that reduced them to one thing. I just want to say, it not only deceived me, and it reduced them. For the company that I kept then, that God in His mercy rescued me out of, but most of those who I was friends with in my high school years still do not know the Lord. And they bought the lie of what culture is telling them. And I'm just here to say it led to such heartbreak and brokenness and despair. God is not withholding beauty from our lives by telling us how to define it. He's making sure you pursue the actual thing and the real deal. Listen, God is not looking to rip you off. Culture is. The enemy is. The culture is the one that is lying and would want you to define it wrongly so you can chase the wrong thing. And so let me just say, don't let your enemy, don't let culture damage your future marriage by believing their lies of what is of utmost importance and their lies of what true beauty really is marked by. And to any young man here, I would say, and you don't, if you've ever reduced one, if you struggle in this area, boy, it's hard to not see women through one lens. Or you maybe feel a sense of shame because I've pursued the wrong thing at times. Let me just say that you don't have to walk this road alone. I think there's this area just brings so much shame for so many people, and so many people think, Okay, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but it just brings on the shame that I did it. And now the next step, whatever the next step is, I just need to walk it alone. But you have so many brothers in this room who would love to walk with you and to go this road together. Just add one final thing on this topic. It's a hard topic to talk about in so many ways. Not because it's hard to define beauty, it's what's taking place on the inside, but because it's so related to such tender topics, the way women have been so mistreated because they have been so often wrongly sexualized and viewed through one lens. And there's such pain that comes from that. And I don't really know how to address it briefly other than to say that should make us so grateful for Jesus, who not only views us with a different lens, who views us with a different gaze, but actually produces what he requires and commends in internal beauty. That Jesus Christ, as we walk with him, actually produces what is of actual beauty in our lives. And I know you will find in this community and in God's community, brothers and sisters who don't see you through a single lens, who not only don't degrade you, but can help see you and affirm what God has made beautiful in you, and that you are seen primarily through what God is doing in you rather than what culture reduces you to. And that if you are a daughter of the King, you're not defined by anybody else's gaze. You're not reduced by anybody else's gaze. You're not empowered by anybody else's gaze. But what He sees that He is creating in you, what He is transforming you into. And so, to say to anyone, men or women, young or less young, who have in some ways promoted or chosen the wrong view of beauty, who have chased the wrong view of beauty, who have, in a sense, flaunted false beauty, and in some ways feel a sense of shame about that, Praise God for Jesus Christ, who bears our shame. And in Scripture, we don't see beauty, right? What do we see beauty defined as? We see it as an internal work that God is doing in our hearts. But what that means is beauty is this direction we're going. It's a disposition of our heart, and it is never too late to walk in and to pursue that. It's not like, okay, well, I did it wrong, so I guess I'll never be marked by this. But rather, it's this disposition of, Lord, I want to trust in you. I want to put my faith in you. I want to walk in your ways. And guess what? As you pursue true beauty, something beautiful takes place in your heart and in your life that it is more and more put on. We're removed from the grip of shame. And more, God transforms us into his likeness. And so just to say, if this has been a temptation, if this has been an area where you see, boy, I've really made so many sins and missteps, that it is never too late to say, okay, but this is what I want to pursue now and walk in now, and something truly beautiful does take place in our life. So true beauty lies in how one loves, not in how one looks forth the source of all beauty. So just to make one final point briefly, because Proverbs is not just telling us how to live, but ultimately pointing us to the one who did perfectly live. Jesus Christ is the source of all beauty, internal and external. All beauty was created by him, and he is the most beautiful of things. But it's not just that he happens to be the most beautiful of all things. It's not just that he happens to be the most majestic of all things. His beauty, his perfection, his flawlessness isn't just our example. It literally transforms us from the inside out. 2 Corinthians 3 says, "And we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord." What's this verse saying is that the more we walk with the Lord, and one day when we see him with unveiled faces, he is right now transforming us into his likeness, and one day we will be transformed into his likeness. And it's so the command of Proverbs is not just, okay, define beauty rightly, do it all rightly, and just do this. It's what we see in Jesus Christ is that he actively makes us more like him. And he is doing this in the lives of all of his children. This is happening now, and this problem for all of his children is that we will arrive here, be transformed into his likeness. And his beauty is not marked by earthly appearance, right? We know from Isaiah, he was not the award-winning golden ratio winner, right? That's not what makes him beautiful. That's not what makes him majestic. But his perfection is so comprehensive that he transforms our inner man into his likeness and into true beauty. And so now all those that walk with him don't have to walk in this outward striving of outward perfection, but can walk by his spirit and by his power in this inward renewal that takes place in our lives. And so just one final note, that if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, or you aren't sure what that really means, just know this. Just like beauty is not defined by what's on the outside, God is not impressed. It fits one of the things that God, beauty is not defined by what's on the outside, is consistent with God is not impressed by the externals of man. He is not impressed by our gifts. He is not impressed by our good works. He is not impressed by attendance at church. He is not impressed by religion. All what that's on the outside, that does not impress him. That does not make one beautiful. That does not make one right with God in any way. We are all sinful. We are all corrupt, utterly corrupt from the inside out. But Christ lived a perfect life. And all those that trust in him receive his perfect record, his record of righteousness in our place. And then not only are we forgiven our sinful record and given his perfect record, he actually then by his spirit transforms our inward man into something more and more beautiful day by day by day. We're not just forgiven of our past sins, we're actually transformed more and more into his likeness. And so I just want to say, if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I would love to talk with you more about it, but God is not impressed by my ability to get definitions right. But we so desperately need him because there is no other way to be made right with God other than what he has done for us. But for all of us, let us be those who promote and pursue and protect true beauty. Let us be those that build a culture of, to the next generation, promoting what true beauty is, of not listening to the voice of this culture, not listening to the voice of the enemy, not listening to the lies that are spent in billions and billions and billions of dollars assaulting our lives, but rather believing what God says in his word to be true. That true beauty lies in how one loves, not in how one looks. Let's pray. Father, would you help us to be those who define beauty rightly? Lord, would we be those who just are so transfixed by Jesus Christ and see him as the source of all beauty that, Lord, we just want to pursue you. As we pursue you, Lord, we are just transformed more and more into your likeness. So would you help particularly the young women who are so vulnerable in our age? Would you give mothers and fathers wisdom and courage? Lord, would you protect the eyes and the hearts of the young men who are under such assault in our culture? But Lord, would our passion not be primarily the things that, in a sense, we were against or were afraid of, but would our passion be just we pursue you more and more? We are led more and more by your Spirit, and we are led more and more by what does loving and chasing and pursuing Jesus look like? And as we do that, you renew us from the inside out. So Lord, would you do this in our midst, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to close in saying, I just want to mention, Em and I will be in the back if you need prayer for any reason at all. And let me just say one thing. If you're somebody who just has felt a sense of shame over this issue, I would love to pray with you, or Em would love to pray with you. But as we're singing, even if you don't want to come to the back, just tug on your neighbor and say, would you pray with me? I want to be released from this cycle that I feel like I'm on, or I feel like I've been wanting to pursue the right thing, but I've been pursuing that right thing alone, and I just keep getting stuck because I'm going by myself. I encourage you to just pray with us, pray with somebody here. But if the Spirit prompted something in your heart, don't leave without praying with somebody, receiving prayer. Let the body of Christ minister to you in some way. And so you don't need to share anything explicit or graphic, but just let me just share. If there's any conviction that you would take time to pray and to take that seriously as we continue to sing. So with that, if you could stand as we close singing one final song together.